The Black Eye turned 24 years old. To mark the anniversary, we played an adventure in The Black Boar written especially for it by Tom Finn in February. We also started playing retro adventures from DSA 3 times with DSA 3 rules on stream again, and not even ironically or as heavily rewritten as the Borberated campaign back then. I maintain that this was the only solution to get this monster project through in a reasonable amount of time, so that even newcomers to DSA can understand it. But that's it for our celebrations. For the 35th anniversary of DSA, we dedicated an entire documentary to the game, and for the 30th, there were several videos with top and flop lists of the most notable books in the system. Back then, a long-running survey in co-op with Nandarian was the basis for selecting the glorious or disappointing products in this ranking, and we thought we'd do it differently for the 40th. So we're doing it again, but different, lazier, more personal. MGI and I asked again what the top and flops are in our environment and on our Patreons, but the results were just as contradictory as they were 10 years ago. One top is another's flop. Things were mentioned that I had never heard of before and others that I cannot understand. Whole rule editions were mentioned, but not always the same ones. That is why our approach for our new edition of the DSA Tops and Flops video is as follows. This is simply our very personal list. So mainly Miggy and I's with a little input from Eve. Eve mostly nodded, but sometimes vehemently disagreed. So this is completely subjective. An opinion, not a scientific fact, so no reason to get upset about it, but definitely a reason to leave a comment with your personal highlights. So please, please tell us under this video. We actually read them. By the way, it's mainly about adventures, less about source books and almost not at all about rules, because we think these edition wars are really pointless. Even if the DSA 3 rule boxes absolutely deserved their place in our top lists 10 years ago, we're also leaving out running gags like Handelscher and Keepin Curl or Lanzahelm and Fetter. They have cult status anyway. We're also not talking about computer games, even if the Drakensang games, especially Part 2 and the Delic Adventures, are absolute highlights. We also had a minimal involvement in the latter. One more reason to leave them out here, and we're not talking about comedy games either, even if there's a lot of rubbish there, both old and new, and in this case too, we've produced official audio plays for DSA ourselves. Nobody noticed the Padona trilogy to be more precise, so we're leaving that topic out here for now, and just very briefly about novels. It has now been scientifically proven that The Broken Council is the best novel and Rihanna the Amazon is at the other end of the scale. So we don't need to go into the topic in more detail here. What I mean by that is that we are also excluding novels, and if you have been following our channel for a while, you will recognize some of the things here. For the sake of completeness, you will now see the titles from the videos from 10 years ago displayed here, so we haven't forgotten them. Some things are duplicated, many are not. The old videos are also linked below. So let's get started. Always alternating top and flop. Top: Brugge's Blut. The DSA 3 adventure Brugge's Blut by Heike Kamers and Jorg Raditz is one of our favorite adventures ever. It's no secret that Aventurgen has a lot of Middle-earth DNA in it, and Brugge's Blut makes the most of it with a very obvious Moria homage, which works and is only Act 1 in a really excellently written plot in which the heroes on the cover infiltrate the Blacklands. The text gets the maximum amount of useful information and oppressive to atmospheric scenes out of not even that many pages. It's about big decisions and sacrifices. You shape the Aventurian story and don't just watch it. DSA at its best. Flop: Part of Darkness. A classic that we played at worst of DSA. And another Borberad side adventure. Part of Darkness was long considered the worst DSA adventure ever. It's got all the railroading, scenes where the PCs have to fail, bad puzzles, a story about NPCs where the heroes are there too, silly allusions to earthly pop culture like the K Family concert. It's officially part of the Borberad campaign, but you can safely ignore it. Top: The Secret of the Cyclops. Werner Fuchs's classic solo adventure was ahead of its time. On the Cyclops Archipelago, for example, we have to look for holy followers that could be hidden anywhere, and we're allowed to freely travel through a sandbox in which the behavior of the NPCs is also controlled by random tables. The plot is more than strange from today's perspective, but I wish there were freedoms like this in modern solo adventures. Here you really had your own fate in your own hands. It was also written quickly. quickly. Journey to the horizon. We often praise Anton West in our videos, and so that he doesn't get carried away, here's something that we think was a failure. Journey to the Horizon is the crossing adventure that is supposed to take Aventuria to Murinor. On the journey west, there are discoveries in a criminal case. Like most sea voyages, it's very, very linear. The PCs simply make next to no decisions and are dragged from scene to scene. Both as a player and as a GM, I found Rewrite's suggestion of writing out the captain to be extremely boring. Give the author the helm and incorporate random tables with island discoveries during the crossing. Top. Nameless Knight. So that Anton isn't sad, here's something else from him. Nameless Knight has the reputation of being an orgy adventure. Anson West and Tom Finn have delivered a crime sandbox where everything is just right. Yes, the setting is quiet, but the premise of playing unarmed heroes who are imprisoned with something that is gradually killing the guests and who, under time pressure, have to find out what's going on here and what can be done about it, is perfect and the implementation leaves no questions or wishes unanswered. And if you don't like the setting, you can rewrite it. Flop Beyond the Light. This is a controversial point. Carly Witsko is Beyond the Light. I know it has fans and I even understand why. Eve is one of them, but Magi and I don't like it. The adventure throws the heroes into a globule or something, it is never fully explained, in which they have to survive and find a way out in a constantly repeating play in which battles between Middle Kingdom nobles are the subject. That would be really cool if the play wasn't written from a Mar-esque perspective and thus takes an exotic look at the Middle Kingdom, making its rules and the multitude of characters almost incomprehensible. Due to the number of NPCs and the lack of even the slightest transparent logic, it is incredibly difficult to run and playing it causes nosebleeds depending on the GM. Rewrite's suggestion. The premise is good, turn down the weirdness factor. Top Vena Sunken Secrets again Anton West. In the past we have often complained that game aids for DSA 4 or 5 contain boring texts that offer no added value for the game. Havina is the exact opposite. There is hardly a paragraph without a plot hook. When you read, the adventures almost write themselves in your head. The book uses DSA's greatest strength, the tangibility of the game world, and describes the city of Havenor more vividly than ever before. With this book, a group can have fun for months without playing a real adventure. The trip to Avena almost becomes a flop on its own. The assassins are a flop. Ulrich Kisso, one of the three fathers of DSA, who can't get enough of his, was famous for his didactic texts and his railroading and sometimes also for a humor that could be reduced to, look at your breasts. The Assassins delivers all of that and is our prime example of an adventure that has damaged the reputation of DSA by simply being a disguised novel. The heroes are under a spell the whole time and can only do what an evil magician wants them to do, and that is to kill the Emperor. It can easily get too bad. You just read out to the players what they are doing. Rewrite's suggestion. Just play with evil characters. Top. Myrainer, the Song of Lore, some Myrainer product has to be on this list, and even though many of them are really good, we have a special place in our hearts for the Song of Lore. The setting in the north of the continent shouldn't be too great for Aventuria fans either. The plot about a gold rush and a berserker curse among Haldengers isn't very complex, but it is presented as a very well-constructed sandbox with lots of great ideas. The authors work with lots of overview and random tables, which is unfortunately a rarity in DSA. But this makes the Song of Lore very easy to manage and its 8 modular locations are not static, but what the heroes do or don't do there and when really bites them in the ass. Great. Flop Euteria. Yes, the entire Euteria project. The development of the new sublocation Euteria, i.e. the southern continent, must have been a shitshow. The work passed through many hands until it ended up back with Listes itself. The crossing adventure that was supposed to open up the new setting was complete rubbish and, in my opinion, came onto the market unfinished. This was followed by 3 adventure volumes that were also supposed to introduce the setting. Unfortunately, the plots were poorly constructed and the setting consisted of too many dull African cliches. Yusha therefore soon got what it deserved. Oblivion. Yes, it's a deep cut, sorry, because they were looking for the staff of Oblivion. H. Top. The Simiala campaign. No DSA campaign is perfect. Most are weakened by railroad scenes or excessive length. Simiala also has problems, but we'll look past it. As with Brua's blood, the Tolkien charm convinces us here again. High elves against a dark fallen god, that's just tried and tested. The campaign is very well constructed with its three parts, has no long stretches, but plenty of epic and offers the right mix of discovery, role-playing, research, combat puzzles and travel. Eve disagreed, by the way, but for us it was a great campaign on stream. Flop, Ways of the Associations and the Brothel Guide. Yes, yes, we know that many of you think we co-wrote these books. The truth is, Miggy and I wrote a solo companion adventure and three short stories for Ways of the Association and Eve wrote a few texts for the Brothel Guide. But when we wrote these texts, well, Mikey and I at least, we thought it was all a joke, which is why Solo and one of the stories are also a parody and not that this sex rule book takes itself as seriously as it seems. No, we don't see any added value in rules for the sexual act or rolling dice to determine the sizes of the parts needed. This started as an April Fool's joke and I really don't know what it actually was in the end, nothing that anyone needs. Well, the pictures are pretty nice. Great in-game books in general, especially the example of Alma after the monster. We love in-game books. This goes back to the Codex Canzones or experiments such as the Tractatus Contra Demionis. Many in the community have also named the Wademecum books as highlights and the most prominent example at the moment is the Almec der Ungehuer. Why we love in-game books? Yes, of course, they add little mechanical or dramatic value, but they convey a mood. They are great props at the gaming table or in the lab. And they encourage role-playing when you can read from them in-game. Flop, the Andergaster comic. The idea of a comic about Aventuria is great, especially to attract newcomers to the game. The possibilities are endless. The iconic characters, historical events, epic locations that could be incorporated to convey the feeling of DSA. Or you can simply tell a poorly constructed low fantasy knight story that could take place in almost any other world and package it in an old-fashioned Prince Valiant look that is likely to put off anyone under 50 except for the biggest hardcore fans. Great. This ranking cannot do without the 7 drawn campaigns, you knew that. The campaign is cumbersome, it is often railroady and, as I said, we ourselves were only able to play it on stream by massively shortening it and bending the whole of Aventuria a little. An adaptation, otherwise we would be playing it for years, but it is formative for the setting. It is groundbreaking for what a pen and paper campaign can and may do and it has produced countless role-playing anecdotes and even more tears of joy and sadness. In my opinion, the G7 is still the main reason why you should play DSA. You should at least take a look at a few of the adventures or subplots. And without the Borborad campaign, the metaplot would simply be boring and still is today. So, a bow to Thomas Romer Hatman from Visa and the other authors. Flop, the Star Carrier campaign. I'll admit it quite openly, I'm not a fan of campaigns where you railroad through Aventuria in the wake of an NPC and follow a metaplot that could also be a novel, even if the G7 could also be accused of the latter. In the 80s or 90s I could forgive something like that, but by the time of the 5th edition, DSA should have recognized its major weaknesses. Railroad plots that you can't escape from. NPC porn where you just stand by as a hero and do nothing, and poorly balanced battles that are fatal for almost all groups of heroes if the GM doesn't roll the dice. And the Starbearer campaign does all of that in a 6-part, uninspired retread of the Filia Sansaga, where you tear through Aventuria on a pre-existing airship as if on rails, to watch in visions of an interesting and long-dead elves being awesome. Every now and then you get punched in the face by nameless monsters so that you can claim that the adventure is interactive. I hate everything about it. The Garrett box is top-notch. We've already praised Havina for DSA 5 as the ultimate city sandbox. That's why the Garrett box has to be included in this video too. This box offers much, much, much more information, plots, NSTs, maps. It's overwhelming what's in this box, which was, to be honest, far too cheap for all this content when it was released. It provides material for years of playing in Aventuria's largest city and the only criticism is that there is just too much material to be able to use it all clearly. Almost as good, by the way, is the other big DSA box that came out shortly before, the Dark Times box, which made a whole new era playable and only doesn't get its own space here because it was in the top video 10 years ago, is a bit more of a special interest and unfortunately we hardly used it at all. Flop, Aventurian Mastery. Aventurian Mastery is the DSA book that has received the worst rating from us over the years and the only rulebook on this list, although I use rulebook with very clear quotation marks. Rulebook. It was announced as a new edition of the Master's Tools and as a kind of collection of alternative rules for DSA. There are a few good ideas in it, but unfortunately that's all it is. A few half-baked ideas for using alternative rules, none of which have been fully developed. For example, you could lay out tarot or Inra cards and interpret them instead of rolling dice. Okay. But how? Or you can use a set of cards for simplified character creation, but you have to buy that separately, which is expensive. There are no game examples, but instead endlessly repetitive pages that offer options for all variants on how to interpret a failed partial test. The sentence, "common sense will do," would have been enough here. Or it is suggested to use a system similar to D&D. All of this is just wasting time on lines, without any vision or commitment to any of the ideas. A sloppy collection of ideas that only fills the book covers because someone has included an academic paper on game theory that has little to no practical use for a gaming group, and then random tools for the SL have been printed, many of which have been recycled from other books. It is conceptless, not very bold and over the top, and, as I said, it also got the worst rating we have ever given a DSA book, 2.5 and top. Finally, a top, and yes, we have more tops than flops. That's a good sign. I briefly considered including Nawa's Legacy, the campaign here without any connection between the adventures, but this will remain an honorable mention. So, the final top is the complete Blue Series, but above all the Academy volumes. What DSA definitely does better than many other games is that it gives players points of reference to deepen their roleplay. The Blue Series is extremely valuable for this. It's about organization and magic academies. There's probably a guild magician in almost every group. With D&D, you're pretty much left to your own devices to find out exactly where they studied and what they learned there. For DSA players, on the other hand, there's detailed information here with rooms and curricula, information about staff and everyday life at each university, and adventure ideas. Of course, you can think of it yourself, but the unique selling point of DSA is that it gives you something like that, and here it does it brilliantly. And you don't have to have a magician in the group who comes from one of the schools shown to benefit from one of the volumes. You can also travel there as a setting, and there are pleasant texts and great Ellis. In black and white, because DS is A4. That was our very personal, subjective and absolutely incomplete list. Maybe we'll add to it again in a second video if you give us enough input. And again, if you have found one of the books contrary to our opinion of your personal favorite or hate book, then no one wants to speak badly or well of that. On the contrary, we are happy when you enjoy things or generally associate emotions with them. If you want to watch us play DSA, you can find tons of Let's Plays on our Let's Play channel, but also sorted into the playlists on this channel.